You're listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, March 29th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Markers. The message focuses on Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 19, and is entitled, A Trumpet to Send.
During the season of Lent, we've been journeying through the book of Exodus. We've been going for the first 19 chapters of Israel's time of slavery in Egypt, through to their release and their freedom in the Promised Land. And we've come to the end of our series in this season of Lent, and we are right at the foot of Mount Sinai. We're just about to, at that place where God gives the Ten Commandments to the people. And what we're going to find out today is that this is the climactic end to our series. You know, this morning, what you will see as we read Scripture together, that this is sort of like a YouTube video almost, or one of those videos that's captured by a person whose sanity is kind of questionable when they go into the middle of a hurricane, or you know, are standing with their iPhone recording a tornado as it's barreling down at them. I mean, the passage that we're going to read today is full of excitement. It's full of danger. It's full of mystery. Exodus 19, what we will see, is an example of God, the good and perfect and wonderful God, the God who made all things good, breaking into a world that is lost, breaking into a world that is no longer good. So this experience that Israel has in front of the Mount Sinai is a terrifying experience. The foundations of creation are no longer able to sustain what is going on. There is lightning flashes and thunder, and the earth is literally shaking around them. And the story, as we're listening to it, the story makes us want to run for cover. It makes us want to go and hide from the glory and the power and the majesty of God, except for this one lone trumpet that begins to rise. And the sound of the trumpet gets louder and louder and louder. And pretty soon, all we hear is music coming from Sinai. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the one in the pew rack we've made available to you, to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to be reading verses 16 through 19. It's in the pew Bibles or your Bibles. It's also going to be on the screen to my left. When I'm done reading, I'll say that this is the word of the Lord. And if you believe that to be true, you can respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." Listen carefully. We're reading God's holy word. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Trumpet is a priestly instrument. A trumpet is a priestly instrument. There's a story I heard this week, read it in the Atlantic magazine, about the great jazz trumpet player Wynton Marsalis. One day, not long ago, he was playing backup in a club in New York City, and there happened to be an author, a columnist, who was in the audience that night. And in the fourth psalm, the great legend trumpet player Marsalis stepped forward from behind and began to play. And the piece that he played was a piece called "I Don't Stand a Ghost of a Chance with You." And this piece was one of these jazz pieces that's able to evoke even the strongest images. It was able to bring out the sadness and the emotion. It was like the song itself was played in murmurs and sighs. And at points it sounds like he is even speaking the words through his trumpet. And as he gets to the final phrases of this song, he lingers on each one of the notes, on each one of the words, just a little bit longer. "I don't stand a ghost of a chance." The room was silent. And it's the most dramatic point in the song when someone from the audience's cell phone went off. And it was blaring one of those sing-songy, melodic, songs. And everybody started sort of laughing and reaching for their phones. And the moment was ruined, totally ruined. Except for the fact that Wynton Marsalis, with his eyebrows sort of arched, began to play that cell phone melody back. He played it exactly as he heard it, and then he played it again, and then he played it again, and pretty soon he had woven that cell phone ringtone into the melody of this piece that he was creating, improvising and varying the different ups and downs of the song, and he finally brought it back to the tenor, to the tone that he was playing before. And the audience was coming back to him. They were getting into it. And in a few minutes, he had resolved the improvisation. He had changed keys. He had brought it back down, and he slowed it to ballad tempo. And he finally ended his song right where he left off, "With You." And the ovation was tremendous. I don't know about you, but in my life, there are a whole lot of wrong notes. Things that I've said, things that I have done, things that I have left undone to my family, to my friends, to my church. And I wish in my life that there was a trumpet playing in the background that could take all of those wrong notes, take all those missteps, could take all of those blaring mistakes and bend them back into the melody of the music, the way jazz does. Trumpet is a priestly instrument. This morning we are hearing the sound of trumpets. The priests who are gathering the people of Israel by blowing a trumpet. In that day and age, a trumpet was a ram's horn. It was a shofar. Maybe you've seen them before, long, curly thing that they would blow. And they didn't have a lot of notes with the shofar, but they could sure play it loud. And that's how the people would gather. They would hear the ram's horn, and they would gather for worship. And it was the priestly instrument. Now, the shofar was blown by the priests when David brought the ark back to the temple and he danced in front of it. The shofar was blown when Solomon was coronated as king. The trumpet was sounded 120 times by 120 different priests when the temple was finally rebuilt. God showed up in these moments. The Bible tells us that we are called to be priests. We are called to be priests to invite people back to God, to the way of Christ. And in order for us to be a priest, we have to have a great priest, even a great high priest. Our great high priest is Jesus. He's the one that invites us and calls us back. And there's five, if we want to know how we can be priests in our own lives, with our families and with our friends, in our communities, we need to know that the five actions that the priests of Israel carried out. The first action, I'll just briefly go through each of them. The first action is the priest was a representative. The priest would come from out of the assembly, typically wearing a robe like this, and it would have 12 stones on the robe, and each one of those stones would represent the tribes of Israel. They would come out of the assembly, and they would make their way towards the temple. Second thing that they would do is they would consecrate themselves. They would put a little bit of blood on their thumb or on their big toe or something like that. They would wash themselves ceremonially and get themselves ready for this act of worship. Third thing they would do is substitution. A priest would put his hands on the head of an animal, a lamb, goat, and would offer sacrifice, not only on his behalf, but on behalf of the whole community. The priest was transferring the guilt, or was transferring the guilt of the sin of the people onto this lamb, onto this vessel. And in the animal's death, would serve as a representative to the people that their sins were being absolved, they were being washed. The fourth thing, the priest would go into the temple, through the courtyards, through into the Holy of Holies, into the sacred places of the temple, in order to make intercessions for the people. He would pray for the people. And finally, after going into the Holy of Holies and making intercessions on behalf of the community, then the priest would come back out, and he would pronounce a blessing. In Numbers 6, Aaron pronounces a blessing. He says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." The priest came out to pronounce a blessing over the people. You see, God puts his name on our lives. Even before we know it, even before Jacoby made that choice today to come and receive baptism, God was already at work in her lives, interceding, preparing, gathering her for this moment. And now she bears the name through the sign of baptism of the people of God. Jesus is our great high priest. On Palm Sunday, Jesus made his way into the temple courts. But not just the Jerusalem temple, but he made his way towards the cross of Calvary to go and be our great high priest, to represent us. He is the Son of God, but he is also a human being just like us in every way except for sin, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. God has taken upon our humanity, your humanity and my humanity, to be our representative, and he takes your name upon his heart. Jacoby, he took your name upon his heart. He took your name upon his heart. In John 17, Jesus prays the great priestly prayer, the great high prayer, and he says, "I sanctify myself for their sake." Jesus makes himself holy because we could not be holy. Then he goes and he walks up those steps. He walks up that hill. He doesn't go into the temple, but he walks up the hill of the skull, Golgotha, to the cross. And he makes substitution on your behalf and on mine. But then the text tells us that when Jesus arises on Easter Sunday and the disciples meet him, he says, I can't stay here with you, that I have to go, and I have to go back to be where my Father is. Jesus goes, ascends to heaven, and there makes intercessions on our behalf. Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for me. Jesus prays for us. And then finally, on that Easter Sunday, when the women went and saw him, and they went and told the others, and they gathered, and Jesus came and met them, he comes and he pronounces a blessing. He says, peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. The name that we spoke over Jacoby this morning, the name that was spoken over you in your baptism, is God's name. It's the name of Christ who makes you holy through his work. God has given us a high priest to take care of the most vilest offenses, the most wretched of our actions, the most dreaded of our memories, the things that haunt us in the night, the things that we can't get rid of. Jesus offers himself for those. The times when we said that thing, or the times when you left that thing undone, those ugly moments from our past, those wrong notes that we wish we could take back, Jesus, in his prayer, folds all those wrong notes into a melody that he makes that is beautiful, that is redemptive, that is saving, that reveals his great grace to you. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, it's not just enough to have all of your life's wrong notes made right. It's not just enough to allow those bad notes to be bent into beautiful notes. It's not just enough to be set free. The question that we leave with today, that I want to leave you with, is now that you have that word of blessing spoken over your life, now that that wrong note has been turned into a right note, how will you be different? How will you live your life in such a way that it is visibly different? And this Holy Week, this is what Holy Week is all about. It is a chance for us to journey with him, to walk with Jesus along that road to the cross, to experience the generosity in the community of Maundy Thursday, to see the suffering and the love of the Passion of Good Friday, and then to witness the wonder and opportunity of Easter Sunday. Where will we go from here? Now that you have a great high priest, now that you have one who speaks blessing and speaks a name over your life, where will you go from here? And that's the exciting part. You know that jazz, so much of jazz is improvisation. And I think that's a great metaphor for our lives, because we don't know what the future holds for us. That we're creating it. We're improvising it. We're coming up with the notes as we go. But we do so knowing that we've got a great trumpet player, whatever it is, who's with us, folding all those wrong notes into right notes, beautiful notes, life-giving, grace-filled notes. You don't have to do it alone. You have a great high priest who is interceding on your behalf, and he's going before you. Hear this, because he loves you. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.